The Thunderbird opened its beak and made a surprisingly gentle noise.
You heard my dream too?
He reached out a hand and rubbed it gently against the bird's head. The Thunderbird pushed up against him like an affectionate pony. He scratched it behind where the ears must have been. Shadow turned to Easter.
You rode him here?
Yes. You can ride him back if he lets you.
How do you ride him?
It's easy. If you don't fall. Like riding the lightning.
Will I see you back there?
She shook her head.
I'm done, honey. You go do what you need to do. I'm tired. Bringing you back like that. It took a lot out of me. I need to rest. To save up my energies until my festival begins. I'm sorry. Good luck.
Shadow nodded.
Whiskey Jack. I saw him. After I passed on. He came and found me. We drank beer together.
Yes, I'm sure you did.
Will I ever see you again?
She looked at him with eyes the green of ripening corn. She said nothing. Then abruptly she shook her head.
I doubt it.
Shadow clambered awkwardly onto the Thunderbird's back. He felt like a mouse on the back of a hawk. There was an ozone taste in his mouth, metallic and blue. Something crackled. The Thunderbird extended its wings and began to flap them hard. As the ground fell away beneath them, Shadow clung on, his heart pounding in his chest like a wild thing. It was exactly like riding the lightning. Laura took the stick from the back seat of the car. She left Mr. Town in the front seat of the Ford Explorer and climbed out of the car and walked through the rain to Rock City. The ticket office was closed. The door to the gift shop was not locked, and she walked through it, past the rock candy and the display of Sea Rock City birdhouses, into the eighth wonder of the world. Nobody challenged her, although she passed several men and women on the path, in the rain. Many of them looked faintly artificial. Several of them were translucent. She walked across a swinging rope bridge. She passed the white deer gardens and pushed herself through the fat man squeeze where the path ran between two rock walls. And in the end, she stepped over a chain with a sign on it telling her that this part of the attraction was closed, and she went into a cavern, and she saw a man sitting on a plastic chair in front of a diorama of drunken gnomes. He was reading the Washington Post by the light of a small electric lantern. When he saw her, he folded the paper and placed it beneath his chair. He stood up, a tall man with close-cropped orange hair and an expensive raincoat, and he gave her a small bow.
I shall assume that Mr. Town is dead. Welcome, spear carrier.
Thank you. I'm sorry about Mac. Were you friends?
Not at all. He should have kept himself alive if he wanted to keep his job. But you brought his stick.
He looked her up and down with eyes that glimmered like the orange embers of a dying fire.
I am afraid you have the advantage of me. They call me Mr. World here at the top of the hill.
I'm Shadow's wife.
Of course, the lovely Laura. I should have recognized you. He had several photographs of you up above his bed in the cell that once we shared. And, if you don't mind my saying so, you are looking lovelier than you have any right to look. Shouldn't you be further along on the whole road to rotten ruin business by now?
I was. I was much further along. I'm not sure what changed. I know when I started feeling better. It was this morning. Those women in the farm, they gave me water from their well.
An eyebrow raised.
Bird's well? Surely not.
She pointed to herself. Her skin was pale and her eye sockets were dark, but she was manifestly whole. If she was indeed a walking corpse, she was freshly dead.
It won't last. The Norns gave you a little taste of the past. It will dissolve into the present soon enough, and then those pretty blue eyes will roll out of their sockets and ooze down those pretty cheeks, which will by then, of course, no longer be so pretty. By the way, you have my stick. Can I have it, please?
He pulled out a pack of Lucky Strikes, took a cigarette, lit it with a disposable black Bic.
Can I have one of those?
Sure. I'll give you a cigarette if you give me my stick.
No, if you want it, it's worth more than just a cigarette.
He said nothing.
I want answers. I want to know things.
He lit a cigarette and passed it to her. She took it and inhaled. Then she blinked.
I can almost taste this one.
She said.
I think maybe I can.
She smiled.
Nicotine.
Yes. Why did you go to the women in the farmhouse?
Shadow told me to go to them. He said to ask them for water.
I wonder if he knew what it would do. Probably not. Still, that's the good thing about having him dead on his tree. I know where he is at all times now. He's off the board.
You set up my husband. You set him up all the way, you people. He has a good heart, you know that?
Yes, I know.
Why did you want him?
Patterns and distraction. When this is all done with, I guess I'll sharpen a stick of mistletoe and go down to the ash tree and ram it through his eye. That's what those morons fighting out there have never been able to grasp. It's never a matter of old and new. It's only about patterns. Now, my stick, please.
Why do you want it?
It's a souvenir of this whole sorry mess. Don't worry, it's not mistletoe.
He flashed a grin.
It symbolizes a spear, and in this sorry world, the symbol is the thing.
The noises from outside grew louder.
Which side are you on?
It's not about sides. But since you asked, I'm on the winning side. Always. That's what I do best.
She nodded, and she did not let go of the stick.
I can see that.
She turned away from him and looked out of the cavern door. Far below her in the rocks, she could see something that glowed and pulsed. It wrapped itself around a thin, mauve-faced, bearded man who was beating at it with a squeegee stick, the kind of squeegee that people like him used to smear across car windshields at traffic lights. There was a scream, and they both disappeared from view.
Okay, I'll give you the stick.
Mr. World's voice came from behind her.
Good girl,
he said reassuringly, in a way that struck her as being both patronizing and indefinably male. It made her skin crawl. She waited in the rock doorway until she could hear his breath in her ear. She had to wait until he got close enough. She had that much figured out. The ride was more than exhilarating. It was electric. They swept through the storm like jagged bolts of lightning, flashing from cloud to cloud. They moved like the thunder's roar, like the swell and rip of the hurricane. It was a crackling, impossible journey, and Shadow forgot to be scared almost immediately. You cannot be afraid when you ride the Thunderbird. There is no fear, only the power of the storm, unstoppable and all-consuming, and the joy of the flight. Shadow dug his fingers into the Thunderbird's feathers, feeling the static prickle on his skin. Blue sparks writhed across his hands like tiny snakes. Rain washed his face.
This is the best!
He shouted over the roar of the storm. As if it understood him, the bird began to rise higher, every wing beat a clap of thunder, and it swooped and dove and tumbled through the dark clouds.
In my dream, I was hunting you,
said Shadow, his words ripped away by the wind.
In my dream, I had to bring back a feather.
Yes.
The word was a static crackle in the radio of his mind.
They came to us for feathers, to prove that they were men. And they came to us to cut the stones from our heads, to give their dead our lives.
An image filled his mind then, of a thunderbird, a female, he assumed, for her plumage was brown, not black, lying freshly dead on the side of a mountain. Beside it was a woman. She was breaking open its skull with a knob of flint. She picked through the wet shards of bone and the brains until she found a smooth, clear stone the tawny color of garnet, opalescent fires flickering in its depths.
Eagle stones,
thought Shadow. She was going to take it to her infant son, dead these last 3 nights, and she would lay it on his cold breast. By the next sunrise, the boy would be alive and laughing, and the jewel would be gray and clouded and, like the bird it had been stolen from, quite dead.
I understand,
he said to the bird.